All right. So Pigment Special. Either Arturia is going to love us or hate us after this episode. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think they did a good job. That's no secret to me. It's kind of like I was going to say love child, but that's kind of a weird thing to say. I don't know why that came in my head. It just, I don't know. It just happens. I mean,
we don't even know where Pigments came from. Like, what was it? Like some brainchild of somebody at Arturia who was like, you know what? We should do a modern style synthesizer. Before that, they were just making emulations.
You know? That's kind of a trip too, because I was like emulations and then this thing came out and that's, I think, what drew my attention to it. I was like, holy crap, what is this thing? So colorful and all that. Mm-hmm. And as soon as it came out, I was like, okay, let's try this out. Cause it's always been about serum, right? That's been like the Holy Grail thing. I get it. And then this thing comes out. I'm like, holy crap, this thing can do a lot of stuff. And this is on like the earlier versions, like when it just came out, I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I totally ignored it for the first two versions because I was like so turned off by my experiences with Arturia, you know, with like their weird emulated interfaces. And I was just like, I don't really know if this is going to be good. Oh, right. And then everyone started talking about it. It was like the buzz got louder and louder. And I was like, okay, like, is this legit or what? And so then I tried it and I was like, huh, like, damn, this is really something. Like there's something here. That is not, it's not like serum. It's not like any other synth. Cause even when it came, when I started using it, of course, Vital didn't exist or whatever, but like it was a little more, how should I say? I don't know. Like it had more potential, like it had more substance. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, wow. And it wasn't until version 3.5, I think, because they did a 0.5 update in the middle of 3.
Right.
That I was like, oh, now we have something here. You know, that was a turning point for me, at least. I think they added granular in the middle of the 3 cycle, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was in there. That update, I remember specifically, I was sitting in traffic on the freeway and I get this email and it's like Arturia 3.5. I'm like, holy shit, I got to get home.
Right.
It was deadlocked. I couldn't get anywhere. It was so frustrating. Mm-hmm. I was so tired. I'm like, I have to download this. I have to get it. So yeah, I downloaded
it. It was a big deal. It was a big deal. Like 3 to 3.5 was like, oh my gosh. Like that was, they added a whole bunch of usability and stuff. And so anyway, Pigments. I mean, let's start at the very beginning. So like, why is it good? I mean, what about it do you really like, and compared to other synths, like what does it have that other synths don't offer?
I think the main thing, number one, is the interface, dude. It's so, it's so easy. And like, I don't want to confuse people in the sense like saying it's easy. I think it's easy in the sense that if you're a beginner and you're just jumping into it, it's so nice to see exactly what's going on. And then once you progress through your sound design journey and like you start getting good, you can like listen to sounds and remake them. It also can do that as well. So even if you're like just starting or you've been doing sound design for God knows how long, it's still good. Like it casts a wide, wide net. And the thing, so for example, in FL Studio, one of my favorite ones was Harmer, because that synth is crazy. And then I would notice where I'd do that exercise where I'd make a couple patches every day for a month. And then I'd go back to the old patches and kind of look at them. It would take me a while to figure out what I did. I'd have to like, it's like I was in like a snowy area, like looking at my own footprints in the past and trying to find out like where I went. And it took a while. And then with Pigments, I can load up a patch I did like on the first couple versions. I'm like, oh, okay, that's exactly what I did. You see all the modulation, you see in front of you what's there. And that to me is pretty cool, especially learning. Cause like, when I'll get preset packs, I generally don't use most of them. I just study them and just like stay up late and like, I'm like, oh, okay, you modulated this with this and this. It's a cool, it's like a instructional manual. Mm-hmm. And then when you do it with Pigments, it's so easy to figure out what is where. And then there's the hints if they want to put those in there, that makes it easier.
Right. Yeah. That's and something to be said, is that there's a lack of, there's no traditional modulation matrix.
Right.
Yeah. And even a mod matrix can sometimes be a nice little map because it's all in one spot. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
But with Pigments, everything is laid out right in the middle there. Mm-hmm. And I think it was with Pigments 4 or 5, they added like the, I don't know, they're like little mini like lights or mini tool tips to tell you where something is modulated. For example, like if you have like LFO modulating something in the effects section, you touch LFO 1 and the little light will go up over the effects section.
Oh, right. Yeah.
To let you know that that modulation is tucked away way over here and you need to go find it over there. You know what I'm saying?
Like things like that make it nice.
I know. Yeah. So there was a huge usability thing. We'll talk about that in a minute though. Okay, so going back, like Pigments is a great synth for beginner users is what you're saying.
Oh, 100%. Like, yeah. And it's easy, and you get all the different versions. Like there's some synths out there that are good for beginners, but they might be restricted to more I guess just subtractive, maybe a little bit of wavetable. Dude, mm-hmm. this has analog. It has some, like, you can do all the subtractive stuff that you want to do. It's got that fancy little drift knob in case you want to get a little more, I guess, analog, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. And then you can go to granular. You can put your samples in there. You can, now they have the harmonic engine, which that was something really cool.
Right.
You know, because like once you kind of get the subtractive, the wavetable stuff, samples, you're like, oh, but what is this harmonic stuff? I can like manipulate harmonics and make my own things. And it's good for percussive tools. You make things metallic and inharmonic.
Right.
You can do all that stuff and it's ready for you. It's all there. It looks nice and neat and tucked away. But as soon as you're ready to open up that door to more complicated stuff, it's there waiting for you.
Yeah. That's one of my big selling points on it is that it's so versatile. Like there's so many different things you can get out of it, right? You want to do something really crazy and dirty, you can do that in pigments. If you want to do something super smooth and like really gorgeous and ethereal, you can also do that in pigments, mm-hmm. right? So there's a wide range of different sounds available inside of just one single synthesizer that I think that it's tough for other synthesizers to get beyond that. You know what I'm saying? Like they kind of have a like their own particular sound palette and then they're sort of locked in that. But pigments right. is like the do-all synth. It's like having a, you know, the Swiss Army knife or the Leatherman at your disposal. Like I can do this. And I mean, just the fact that alone that it has both a wavetable and a granular engine, you know, the only other synth that I can think about, I can think of a couple synths that have that, but one of them is the Current Minimal Audio's new synth that has both granular and wavetable. Omnisphere 2 has that. I guess Falcon has that. And there's other synths that have that those two capabilities on board, but Pigments is like right there. It's just like, yeah. You want to do a sample? Do you want to do grant? Oh yeah. Faceplant also has that now. So, you know, yeah, there's just a wide range of tones. And when I'm designing sounds for it, like I can do it so fast because I know exactly where things are. Like, this is like, you go from A to B and you're just like, oh, you know, within a matter of minutes, you've got a full completed patch ready to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like something laborious that's going to take you, you know, an hour to make one sound. You could knock out several sounds in an hour and have a whole easily. Like pack, you know, like, this is not like a plug, but on my Patreon, I have all these little mini packs for pigments, you know, and I just keep stacking them up because like I can go and sitting down and for 90 minutes, I'll sit down, I'll have a pack of 5 or 6 presets and just like, here you go. That's it. Right. That was my sound design expression in that time, you know?
Yeah, hell
it's,
yeah.
It's that fast. So if you have an idea, whether it's a bass, a pad, a sequence, oh, we didn't even mention the sequencer. The sequencer is a whole nother thing on its own. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just very, very, you know, cross a genre, you know what I'm saying? Like from beginners to advanced, there's just a lot to love about it. Now, counter argument to this is like, what do you think, like the flip side of this, like, do you think that they're just going to keep on iterating on what they've already done? Or do you think Pigments is going to grow in a different direction? Like, where do you see Pigments going, you know, now that they've established 5 versions already? Like, where do you see Pigments going in the future?
It must be a scary point from the developer's point of view, right? Because they have so much success with it. And what they're doing is right. I mean, with each version, it seems like everyone's happy with it. I haven't seen people say like, oh, with this version, they messed it up. Or like, I don't like this update. And it seems just,
I've never not liked better. The Pigments update ever.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, like on 3.5, I downloaded the manual on the freeway and I was like reading it, which is probably super dangerous.
Man, you're on the freeway a lot, dude. Like, what the heck? Like,
what's that?
You're on the freeway a lot.
Oh, dude. Yeah, it's my second home. I learned so much, dude. Like, I'll just binge watch every Pigments video out there. If there's a synth I like, I'll just watch every video I can about it.
Yeah.
You know, okay, you never know where that one tip comes from.
Yeah. So the manual, you were reading it on the freeway.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I'm like, oh, we can do this now. We can do this. And then I think it was, on version 5, where you can do the post effects. Cause that was one of my biggest, I guess, frustrations with Pigments
famously,
at the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cause it's like, I have these 6 inserts I can use for FX A and B. I'm like, that's cool. But then if I want to use the last ones for the sends, those are processed prior to the effects. I'm like, but I want to use these other ones after that. They're like, that was my biggest gripe with it. So then once they add this button and I kept saying that, I'm like, they need a post effects send. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, we added the post effects. I'm like, yes, this is so amazing. Mm-hmm. And that changed my life. I think there's a couple of things I would like, where like, you know, individual engines to have their own direct outs. That would be kind of cool. Right. I kind of like that. But I mean, there's not really, I guess, and this is kind of a tough spot for their developers too. I do hope in the future that they add more macros. Because I find myself in this spot where they're so easy to use. They're so accessible. I use all the macros every single time. And there's times where I'm like, I wish I had like three or four or five more mm-hmm. because everything in those macros, it's so easy. I'm like, oh, I'm going to drag and drop that. And you can do that in like half a second and you burn right. up the macros. So you kind of really have to think about which ones you want to use.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do they implement that? Do they do different pages maybe? Like, is there like a next button that they would add like another four, like five?
Yeah, you know, that's something? The thing. They could actually tuck away a lot of, I mean, they've already proven with the five update that they can do menus. You know what I'm saying? Like menus, that was a huge change for me in from Penguin's five was the menus got super clean. Like everything that you would need, whether it's the filter menu, the LFO style menu, like everything is just super clean and fast and accessible. But you can see how, like, if they can do that, why couldn't they just do that with, yeah. you know, four more macros or something, like, and just double the number, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of almost an easy one. Like, but, you know, again, you have all these different macros. You're going to have different CPU demands. I mean, they just added multi-core, so they're progressively getting better.
You know, or even macro buttons would be cool. That's one thing I love about Avengers. Like, there's mm-hmm. buttons that you can press. So it's like an on-off thing where you can have two yes. different values. So, right. like, that would be really cool to have on there. I mean, yeah. who knows?
No doubt. The thing that I would like to see them do is sort of like boost up, or I don't know about, it's not going to be like a V2, but like really ramp up the effects. Cause I feel like some of the effects are just like, they've been the same the whole time. Mm. And if they could really like, I don't know, you know, the way that current implemented effects was like, they have like these effects that are like full on like flagship products inside of the synthesizer itself. You know what I'm saying? They're not just like,
oh, right.
they're not just like extra effects that they're like, you know, like for example, the delay in Pigments is fine, but it's nothing special. You know, I don't really see what the true difference is between the tape delay and the real delay. Like, it's just like, why would I use one over the other? You know, but like, for example, like in the delay, the classic delay, you don't have control over like individual, like left and right. You just have like one time value and that's it.
Right.
I would love to see them get a little more creative. Okay. A lot more creative with like the way they're doing the effects. Cause they're not very visual at all. They're just like, here's the thing. Like here's a couple knobs, you know, they could get way more creative with that in the same way that they do like the rest of the synth. The effects could be the same way. They could just,
yeah,
not
even
just
add
be
like
tacked on and
different yeah. algorithms too, like for the reverb. Like that would mm-hmm. be cool if they had like a drop down. It's like, okay, this is this algorithm,
exactly.
this is that algorithm.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would be
kind of
cool.
Not just size and feedback, but like, let's have a full on like super massive inside of Pigments. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, Jesus Christ. That would be insane.
Because, you know, during the, you've also designed commercial sound banks for Pigments. But like mm-hmm. during the process of me designing my first commercial sound bank, which was Chromatic recently, I was like, I'm hearing the same reverb sound over and over again. And I only have two controls over the reverb. You
There's
know
only
what
so
I'm
much you can do. Yeah.
There's only so much you can do. So like, why not have different quality? I mean, yes, you could add a convolution reverb, but again, those other reverbs are just going to be collecting dust. You know what I'm saying? So take yeah. what you have and then really ramp it up and revamp what's already there in the same framework to get more value out of what you already have. Because that's what they've proven that they're doing is with five versions of a synthesizer. If you count 3.5, it's probably more than that.
Oh, that's like, a good point, yeah.
Right? It's like different versions of it. It's all been for free. You pay one time and you get every single update, which is phenomenal, right?
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
So if you're continually adding value, then you don't need to necessarily add more. But you can take what you already have and really like just sweeten the deal. You know what I'm saying?
That would really bring it up to the next level. Like just maybe like some out of the box effects that we haven't really seen before mm-hmm. or something just out there.
Yeah, you exactly. know what I mean? Yeah, because I'm not interested in like more, I'm not interested in more different effects. I'm just like just like, okay, just make that something else, you know what I'm saying? Like make right. that something else entirely, right? You can make, you know, give it a name. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Like give the delay a new name, like the warp delay or something like that.
And there's cool stuff you can do with delay. Like there's so Avenger has this delay, I guess, effects that you can put on there. And mm-hmm. basically like you load this thing on there and there's like delay A, B, and C, and then there's like the master effects, right? And in each mm-hmm. category, there's three different subcategories, I should say, right? So it's also a sequencer. So let's say like on the first delay, you have this first track, right? It's like a sequencer that you can make like 1/8 or 16 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And depending on what you want to put on there, you can say, I want this one to be a low pass. So mm-hmm. all the different delays are like different amounts of the low pass, or you can make this one a bit crusher, or you can do like stuttering effects. And then you can change all the timings of those delays. So it sounds insane. Mm-hmm. Like one lane could be like a weird pattern of a low pass. The next one could be like rate reduction. The next one could be some stutter stuff or some weird chorusing things. It's like, holy shit. Like just in that plugin, that effects, you can make endless amounts of patches.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Do you feel like the amount of only having three LFOs and three envelopes is limiting, or do you find yourself like,
First I thought it was like when I saw it at first, I'm like, oh, I only get three of these and that. But to be honest with you, I haven't really felt like I needed to, that I needed more, because if you do run out of the LFOs, like you also have three functions that you can do with, right? And then if you run out of those, then you can maybe say like, okay, let me dive into the combinates and see what I can make from the stuff I already have, right? You already have those ingredients. So you just change a couple of parameters.
Right. So you have three LFOs, three MSEGs or functions.
Yeah.
And then you could have three like completely unique combinates that are also LFOs. So that's like nine.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
That's not bad, right? So like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can do. I never found myself getting bored. I find myself getting bored of like the modulations that exist.
Yeah, and combining modulations too. Like, for example, if you have like a crazy MSEG, for example, going on, and then you have maybe like an LFO moving the cutoff, you can like connect those two with your mod wheel if you wanted to, right? And do the sidechain, and then it's like you have almost a different, and it's not a different modulation source, but it's controlled differently. So you have another thing to work with.
Yeah, the combinate is something can you recall we've ever seen that before, like implemented in that way? Like,
I don't think so.
It's very VCV rack almost, like combining voltage. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. Yeah. It's kind of strange.
You know what I'm talking about? Like when you have like, two different LFOs, say in VCV, and you cross modulate the voltage between them, you get a new unique LFO.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in combinate. Almost like they have these tons of different algorithms and you can combinate the two things and like, boom, you're combining the two things and making a new modulation.
Yeah. Source. Like you can get like a slower LFO kind of going, right? And it's still in sync with your track. And then you can have like spikes of a saw wave and all those LFO cycles. I'm like, that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
You ever cut off moving, but there's all the little spikes in between. If it's like double time, so you can still get like rhythmic
even
stuff,
adding like secondary pages would be cool. If you could just flip through, if you needed more of those traditional LFOs, just swipe through, you got page two. They've already shown that you can like,
that would be kind of cool actually.
You know what I'm saying?
But then I like, went, that's true. I was like, how do you, like in the center bar where there's all the modulators, I was like, how would you implement more LFOs? But I guess if you go to the next page, it would just maybe like update those as the same next page. I mean,
work. They've proven they're good at menus now. So like you can just like page through it. Okay, let's see all the little different modulations. I think they could implement some sort of mod matrix page. You know what I'm saying? It could be a separate, completely separate tab, or instead of having to look and try to find your little modulation in the middle, what if you had a linear list that was like, you could do something just like Vital, just like Serum, just like Omnisphere, just like all these other synthesizers that have, straight up and down lists. And then you could do like, you could switch the, the type of, bipolar or unipolar, that kind of thing. You could easily do cross modulation there, like something like that would be really cool.
That would be cool. I've kind of wanted to, like if they released the Acid synthesizer, like what, so like a couple months ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. And like, I was like, okay, if we have this badass Acid plugin, why not put that filter inside Pigments? Because making Acid patches, you kind of have to like fiddle with the filter settings, and usually the MS-20s, the closest I've found. But why don't you just put that filter in there? That'd be cool. They've got the coding down.
Speaking of filters, how do you feel the filters stack up against other synthesizers? Which is usually a talking point of most people, like, oh, what's the quality of your synth? We were talking on Discord yesterday. Right. Like
you can have the best oscillators in the world, but if your filters suck, I mean, it kind of doesn't matter at that point.
Right. So where would you like place them? Okay, give them a scale, like 1 out of 5. Where are Pigments? 5 being the best, 1 being the worst.
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I guess it depends on which filter, because oddly enough, even though like the multi-mode is the less CPU intensive filter of of the entire synth, that's one of my favorites for just like a general purpose one. Cause there's a lot of options and it sounds good.
That's what
it's
meant for. It's the multi-mode filter. You just use it for everything.
Yeah. And you think like, okay, maybe like we have this like vintage, like Jupiter or whatever filter.
Do you
or this
ever
filter.
Reach for those? Like, to be honest, do you reach for those out of like, I really think that would, I need that right now, or like
for the Jupiter
I just
ones?
Want to change it up.
Oh no, it's a very strategic thought. Like 9 times out of 10. If it's like, if I'm like, okay, I need a more aggressive sound or something to kind of like punch through, MS-20 hands down. That one's amazing. If it's for like just general stuff, I just need a nice filter that sounds good, the multi-mode. But it's like, okay, if we're making something maybe a little retro-y or synth-wavy, then it's probably going to be like one of the other ones, like the Jupiter or whatever it is. And that generally has a more creamier character to it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Especially the Resonance.
All right. So where would you, how would you rate them? Are they better than the rest of the ones in the market? Are they around, is it just score on par?
I think they're pretty on par. Like they are good. The best, like my favorite filter almost for any synthesizer is the MS-20. Mm-hmm. And like, I think the best one I've ever heard out there so far was from Falcon. Mm-hmm. And then that one's closely tied with Divas because that one is pretty good as well.
Right, I was going to say Divas way up there.
And you get the next revision as well. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then even like the MS-20 on Arturia's MS-20, that one, like the high CPU one, that one's freaking crazy too. Like I almost feel like it's a slightly different filter. Maybe I'm just like hearing something wrong.
I don't think it's the same one.
I don't think it is either, especially like the first CPU demanding one. Because if you do some filter suites on like their MS-20, that thing is wild. It's almost like Polybox wild. Mm-hmm. And then this one, it is wild on pigments, but it just seems a little bit tamer. Maybe it's the next revision. I don't know, but
yeah,
I've wondered that.
Or it's just a pigments version of it. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not, I don't see, that's the other thing about this whole pigments thing is you don't see any of Arturia's DNA there really. You know what I'm saying? Like this could be made by a totally different company and you wouldn't even know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's such a different synth. Yeah. With like it's the colors and like,
would you know that that's an Arturia product? Like not really, but
that's a okay. Good
hats off to the developers. Like we don't even know who they are. Maybe we could have one of them on the show someday. And be like, okay, tell us, like, how did this synth come to be and where are you guys steering this ship?
Yeah, because if you think about it, it's such a, like, out of left field synth, right? You got the analog emulations and then it's like, boom, now we have this. And it's like, I did not expect this thing coming out like that. I thought it was like, is this like a modeling synth? Is this, like, what is this?
And then you're
like,
we love it. So it's basically, it's the new de facto standard. I would consider it the standard, like, because it's priced right in the mid-range. You know,
And there's deals all the time too, which is like amazing. The time.
It's good for beginners. It's good for advanced. And they've proven that they can update it and keep it, you know, up to spec, so to say. Yeah. You know,
and another thing too, I think that a synthesizer should kind of be judged on is like how it handles files and how it handles presets. Mm-hmm. Because that's a thing you do want to stay organized. And it's cool how, for example, let's say you're doing a live set or something like that. And you have, you rearranged your show and you're like, this is the songs I want to play live. So you can make a playlist inside the preset browser of all the presets that you want to pick. You know, let's say like you have a certain ones that you play in the track, but maybe for this live ones, you want to play some different parts. So then you can put like a different version of a different playlist and then rearrange the patches that you want that way and just go through them. I'm like, that's a pretty cool thing. The preset handling,
what it used to be wonky. It was super wonky at the beginning. Like I didn't like it at all. You know what I'm saying? The way it handled presets.
Yeah.
It's gotten better. I will say that it's gotten better. It's still not perfect though. One small little example is like to make a new bank. The unwritten rule is like to make a new bank, you have to save a preset and put a new name in the preset bank.
Oh yeah. Menu. Yeah, I can see that. You would think like new bank and then you put the title in.
New bank would be a thing like, oh, here, I want to make a new bank and then save it there. No, you have to, they don't even say that in the manual. Maybe they do. I don't know. But it's like kind of one of those unwritten rules. Like,
I do remember searching for that one. That's true.
Create a new bank for you in space, like this imaginary new bank. So I had to learn that the hard way. You and I both had to learn the hard way is importing images as the bank image. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Because
in a perfect world, it would just be like new bank. And then maybe and there's a menu and it's like dragging.
There's a menu that says here, drag a new image in, whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, things like that could still be tightened up, which is why I said at the beginning of the show, like, you're either going to love us or hate us because we're nitpicking this thing. But that's because it's something that we use all the time.
But if you get to that point where someone's like, oh, this is great, we just nitpicked it. Like, that's kind of a cool spot to be at.
That's a cool spot to be in because you're refining what you have. It's like, you know, if you were a car manufacturer and you're like, oh, okay, what's the difference between my 2024 and my 2025 model? This is the same model car, but what could we improve on this car to make it better? How can we implement new technology, new whatever? It's the same car, but it's going to be just a little bit better. Just a little bit better. You know, we're just going to keep refining that design and just, you know, massaging out the kinks, right?
Kind of reminds me of the Toyota Camry, right? You remember those things back in like the 90s or what it was? Like they looked so bad. But then you look at the ones like now, you're like, Jesus, like if you put that car against like a 1990 Toyota Camry, entirely different cars, but
different car.
But
we're still working with, you know, I mean, I think the multi-core actually improved the quality of life more than I thought it would. Like,
Yes, it's really, that's much needed.
It was much needed because everybody's CPU has multi-cores now. And just to have, but it's the thing is not, it's not enabled by default. I thought that was so weird. I was like, why wouldn't, because some people were like, oh, your patches are great, but they're like super high on my CPU. I'm like, did you enable multi-core? Because it's not on by default and you have to go in there and turn it on and it's kind
of
hidden.
Ooh, speaking of that, there's one thing I discovered, I guess, unintentionally. So the multi-core feature. So you know how Diva has that, you know, it's a very demanding plugin and Diva has the multi-core. So yeah. I noticed that, and this was in one of the, I think it was one of the Synthwave songs I was working on, but I have a lot of Diva instances in there. And I mean, my CPU was not too bad, but I didn't have multi-core on like nearly anything. So I'm like, I might as well put it on everything. And then once I did that for every instance, I heard like cracks and pops. What is it? I don't know. But like weird crackles in there and like weird
pops and clicks.
Pops and clicks. There we go. Good Lord. And it was like grainy and gross. I'm like, what the hell is in there? So I thought it was like maybe like I was clipping or I was like, no, my levels look fine. And then so I started now turning off the multi-core. And then I noticed once I turned them all off, it was fine again. Like, that's really weird. So I looked in the manual and they say like, if you actually like enable a lot of those as well, like something like that could happen, or the DAW also can handle multi-core itself.
Right. That's the thing I was going to say. That's a total DAW issue.
Could be.
Probably because the DAW sometimes, I knew this was the way it used to be with Ableton, which is, you know, each track is a separate core. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's
each, you know, each thread. I don't know. I'm not an engineer. I have no idea about this shit, but I'm just a user. Right. So like, that's what I heard, but yeah, I can understand how that would be a problem if every single instance of Pigments is taking up multi-cores, then how many cores do you have left?
Yeah,
you only have
like
a certain number of cores.
Maybe that's why it's off is the only reason I would guess. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
But
anyway, it's in the gear menu for anybody who's wondering. It's in version 5 in the gear menu on the top right of the synthesizer.
Yeah.
And just flip
you're
it
making
on,
like granular with reverbs and long delays and releases, turn that thing on. Yeah. Damn.
All right. So we've gone over a lot. I mean, we've gone over the strengths of Pigments. We've gone over, you know, what we think they could change in the future. You know, we've gone over the different options of it. It's a great synth for beginners to advanced. It's got a good sound.
Yeah.
It's, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's, but there is still room to grow as we stated, like there's still more like Pigment 6, which is hopefully, we've taken it for granted. Honestly, I've taken it for granted that there's always a new Pigments version around the corner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's such a good day when they come out like, oh my God. It's like, you click the Arturia update center.
No one knows about it. No one talks about it. They come out, they just come out of the left field and they're like, here you go. Like, here's a brand new version. They've done this to us multiple times.
Yeah.
And that to me is the sign of, you know, developers who are passionate about what they do. They obviously have a core team of developers who are working on it consistently and they're not giving up. And it means that the demand is still high for a synthesizer like that in the market, right?
I did hear, and this is one thing I would love to have in Pigments. I think this is, I can't even believe it took so long to bring this up, but I really would like a wavetable editor inside Pigments. That would be so cool.
Yeah,
because
I'm sorry,
I know they would
that.
Implement it really,
you know,
really good.
Okay, so yeah, that's another thing, is the way that the wavetables are handled is fine, but it would be really nice if you could make your own.
Yes.
Because that would be like, oh, like, you know, like the sound of it, like they expect you to either use what they have or import your own, which is, again, fine. But like, you know, like if you're going to do it, but you got to do it right. The same, the same thing that Urs said, like, is you can't just tack on these large things, which are very involved, without fully thinking about what this is, how it's being, how you're going to use it, and what the long-term implications of it are. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, so if they do it, I hope it's a very fleshed out, not just a basic wavetable creation tool. You know what I'm saying? Like really thinking, and don't just copy and paste somebody else's. You know what I'm saying? Don't just take Serum's wavetable editor. I mean, you could, that's a pretty good one.
Agreed.
But don't just take like something and just copy paste it. Make it really, really useful.
And for the love of God, put the bin numbers in there. Jesus Christ. That'll hurt my brain. If I don't want to guess, or you know what I mean? Like, I want to know exactly which is the octaves, which is this.
But I think, you know, the I don't know if you ever used PhasePlant's wavetable editor, but there's really cool things that you can do in that wavetable editor that you can't do in other editors that I've seen. There's really cool tools. Like they have like different like algorithms, different manipulation algorithms.
Oh, see, that would be cool.
That's what I'm saying. Like you could go that far with it and be like, oh, we're going to do it our way and have a really like I said, fully fleshed out, but like unique and useful. So when I go to create wavetables, because I create wavetables all the time, like when I'm creating a new pack, that's the first thing I do is I create like 30 to 50 wavetables.
Oh, interesting. It's fun to make them, dude.
Right? So that's fun. The first thing you do. So give me reasons to use your wavetable editor that I can't get anywhere else. Right? Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, give me ways to manipulate wavetables and ways to create you, because that's where the sounds are coming from. They're not coming from, okay, I'm using stock wavetables, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the core basis of your sound, especially when you have a synth that's very wavetable heavy, which Pigments is, right? Give us a way to create them.
And isn't there that thing in Serum that I really liked, and I haven't used it for a long time, so I could be misspeaking here, but isn't there a way in Serum where you can, let's say you have like a crazy saw wave going on, you have the cutoff kind of low, and you kind of maybe open up the filter with a modulation, like an envelope or an LFO or something, and then you can make that into a wavetable?
Yes.
Yeah, so you that would also be kind of cool.
You can also make LFOs into wavetables.
We'll see.
And then you also make wavetables into LFOs.
Oh, yeah, that is wild. Yeah. Because that integration.
I do that all the time. I think that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, you can also make wavetables into LFOs. So, like, if you wanted a really cool wavetable shape or a really cool LFO shape, just grab your wavetable and grab a frame and then port it to your LFO. And it makes a custom freaking curve and everything.
Yeah, see, that would be a cool thing to have. Like, that would be really fun. Because before
copy
I would
and paste
make,
that one. Yeah. Archery, I give you permission. Take that one. That one is dope as hell. You know what I'm saying? Like, that one's really cool. But, like, again, the LFO, this goes back. I mean, I guess you wouldn't do the LFOs because the way LFOs are, you do it in a function. So, like, you do a wavetable frame to function.
Interesting.
Another thing we didn't bring up is the function editor is cool, but they've kept it the same the whole time. And I think they could actually do some better stuff there. Like, you could have better, like, CAD tools or something. You could have better ways to make cool shapes. Because right now you just have the paintbrush and you just have little points. And I find dragging those points is sometimes really wonky and you can't get really granular with it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
they gotta be fluid, I think. Like,
I would love them to really take examples of, you know, I guess the way Zebra Led is doing it now, or like take some really cool examples and make that a more user-friendly menu. Cause it gets set. It's like this linear thing. And like, it's really hard to drag points in that thing. Like, it's not really user-friendly at all. So like, take some pages out of other people's playbooks and make some better options for us. Cause, you know, if you're going to give me a spline editor and give me a Boolean freaking handles, give me Boolean handles, bro. You know, I need pulling in points and, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything that would come with a really robust editor. So
a cool feature, and I don't even know how they would implement this, but it would be, I like doing stuff where you get randomness things in there. So let's say you have like a rhythmic bouncy kind of function going, you have it on the cutoff and it's kind of makes some rhythmic elements. So what if there's a way where, like, the top peaks, you could maybe set a certain value, maybe from like 0.7 to like 1, you know, at the top. Yeah. And then do that for all the ones, maybe also adjust like the tension of the curves and give those parameters to a randomized button.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like, every three or four bars, it'll like change, or every bar it'll change. Right. So you have the same idea, but it's just slightly different. Like, that would be kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool too. Cause then you can make really evolving textures and stuff like that. Do they have triggers in the functions or no?
As far as, like, what do you mean?
Like a trigger, like, can the LFO trigger the function?
Yeah, like, you can, like, tie things up like that if you wanted to.
Yeah, I think so. That's one of the things I love about Pigments.
Do you mean kind of like when, like, an LFO would reset from, like, the input of a yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's I don't know, there's things that I can do on the Hydra synth that I wish I could do in Pigments. There's like a really cool like ways you can like loop stuff. But anyway, I mean, you're doing a great job, Arturia. Just keep up the good work and take all of our ideas, you know, put them on the wish list. You know what I'm saying? All the things we mentioned, better preset management, another separate pages, more macros, more LFOs, better effects, implement a wavetable editor. You know, these kind of things can really, especially for us, you know, John and I, we're both professional sound designers and, you know, let's just put it out in the atmosphere, see what happens. You know what I'm saying?
I hope so. I mean, I don't know if they ever heard my like post send effects thing, but like maybe that did happen, maybe it didn't, but I'm still happy.
Yeah,
it's there.
And maybe we'll see a wavetable editor, and maybe we'll even see a wavetable to function.
I feel like I heard an interview of them talking about doing something like that. I feel like I have a memory of that. But one last question I had for you before we wrap up about this. So a lot of synths come with different skins and themes, and, you know, like the Diva stuff, like Plugmon will make different, like, again, it's not really a skin, it's more of a theme, right? This stuff's moved around, it functions different. What do you think about that in pigments? Because personally for me, I don't really care as much as I have maybe for some other synth. I'll go on like a skin binge and like change it and I'll play with it for a day. I'm like, yeah, I go back to the original. So I don't really care. They put the light theme in. I don't really know why.
I don't use the light theme. I never use the light theme.
Yeah. The dark theme is fine for me. Like the OG regular one. Like, do you care for more skins and pigments?
It would be cool if you did it like Vital did it and you did like an editor. Okay. Vital's editor is kind of weird. It's kind of whack and it's hidden actually. You can't even see it on the surface. You have to hit a secret key and then hit the menu to get to even get to the editor anyway. But it's there and it exists and it has every single thing and you can totally customize. That's how you got those cool skins. Everybody asked me for the skin I'm using.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, where's your Vital skin? It's this one dude who made it.
They have a pigment skin, just throwing that out there.
Right. But okay. But give us an editor.
That would be kind of cool.
Give us an editor. So then you can have all of this whole user community of like user generated skins and stuff. Like it's not that, you know, okay. Pigments is a complicated synthesizer. There's a lot of moving parts, but so is Vital. They pulled it off. You know what I'm saying? They just had a bunch of hex values and a bunch of a whole list of every single thing that you could ever color on the synthesizer. And, you know, Matt's he's a visual designer, you know? So like the way he implemented gradients and stuff in Vital, the way he implemented a bunch of cool things like that really made Vital like nice to look at.
The glow stuff is kind of cool.
The glow. Exactly. Yeah. The glow stuff and the gradient stuff is what I'm talking about. Give it to us in pigments if it's gonna be
implemented. Up the talk of the town, I would think. Pigments, new skins, or skin editor, or something like that.
That's the direction, you know. I'm gonna use this platform for like the voice of the people. Like that's the direction that things are going. You know, if you're gonna sell us products, make it about a community and make it about you, about user friendliness. You know what I'm saying? And make it something that if you're gonna go viral with your product, dude, you better be willing to let people take control of it and do what they want with it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
we're sort of past the whole era of like, we're selling you this product and you're going to buy it. And that's going to be the end result of it. It's going to end there. No, it doesn't. It goes further than that. You know what I'm saying? Because now people really want, like, they want it to be theirs. They want it to be personal. If you're talking to a bunch of niche audio producers anyway, you know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Who are like, have very specific needs and we're the ones who are making music on your tools, then give us the power.
I wonder if it'll be a thing like, Like if skins will be the thing where you resize GUIs. Because back when, you could not do that in a lot of sense. And like, I hate that because like, if I'm just working in one, it's like my entire screen. It's massive. It covers up everything. And I love that.
Right.
Just drag the corner. You can make it big. Or there's a little menu on most synths now.
That's the thing is we went from image-based interfaces to vector-based interfaces. That's such a huge nice jump.
Change. Yep.
It's a nice change. We all loved it. But like we took it for granted that was like like talented programmers who are creating vector-based interfaces. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because like, not everyone's like right in front of their screen, or maybe some people can't see that well.
And Serum did way back in the day. I mean, they did it long time ago. He was so far ahead of the curve. The guy, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's true. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he was way far ahead of his time is what I'm saying. But we take it for granted that that's the standard now. And that's ultimately what drove me away from anything that NI ever made, which is a different topic for a different day. But like NI still hasn't updated their interfaces in 2024.
That's what keeps me off the platform.
Like I can't even use Kontakt. Like,
what? I know. Same with Reactor. It's like, I want to get into it more, but it's like,
not happening. Anyway, different topic, different day.
Different topic. Yeah.
We'll cover that one at some point. Appreciate the good synthesizer. Keep up the good work and surprise us. You know?
Yeah. Can't wait. And to wrap this up, I'm curious what you guys think about the things that you like about pigments, what you don't like, and maybe some updates. What do you want to see in the new pigments? Maybe someone out there is listening. You never know.
Let us know in the comments on YouTube.
All right. See you in the next episode.
If you're interested in supporting the podcast, please subscribe to the Signs of Life and John Audio channels on YouTube. The link for our channels is down below in the description and in the show notes. For the video version of this show, please subscribe to the Harmonic Horizons YouTube channel to keep up with all the latest episodes. For bonus content, including additional podcast material, head over to the Signs of Life Patreon page. Paid members get access to Beyond the Horizon, our new series of extended conversations with our guests, as well as several other benefits, such as early access to all of his videos exclusive ambient tutorials, over 100 preset packs for various synthesizers, one-on-one coaching for ambient and electronic music, and tons more. If you'd like to support John Audio and the work he does, head over to his YouTube channel and subscribe. You can also check out his Gumroad page for a selection of free and paid preset packs. Finally, he has a Patreon page where subscribers get access to additional content, such as exclusive music, presets for various synths such as Pigments and Diva, specialized courses, and more. Harmonic Horizons is hosted on Buzzsprout and is now available on all major platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and all other major podcast directories. If you'd like to reach out to us or would like to be a guest on the show, you can contact us at harmonichorizonspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.